Grab your coffee. It's the weekly roll up. David, what are we talking about?
The bull market continues. Week two of the crypto bull market. What is pumping and why? This new and improved market section in the weekly roll up, where we have the movers of the week. We'll unpack which tokens are moving and why. And sometimes at some point in the market, you'll have to be reminded that sometimes they're just going to move and there's not going to be a why. But there's perhaps a why this week. And also another big win for layer twos on Ethereum. Another centralized exchange is launching another layer two. It's basically table stakes for exchanges to have a layer two these days. What else is going on, Ryan?
First of all, I'm glad you said centralized exchange, because I can't stand, like, sex just doesn't work for me.
Another sex CEX launches another layer two.
It just still doesn't work for me. Also, last week was speculation, but this week it's official. BlackRock has officially filed their ETH ETF. And not to be outdone, the XRP community tried to meme their own ETF application from BlackRock into existence. It didn't work out well. And finally, the Base Rollup is introducing on-chain perks for people who identify themselves. And also, we have some identity protection, a new privacy protocol coming to Ethereum that we're going to talk about. David, there's always so much we jam-pack in this rollup. And you know what? We also jam-pack another feature of Bankless that we don't talk about too much on the podcast, and that is the Bankless premium feed.
The other podcast, the other RSS feed.
There's another layer to Bankless that many of those listening don't even know about.
Most of you are still on the main chain.
Yeah. Yeah. There's another echelon to your banklessness that you can get to, and that is the Bankless premium feed. It comes with a subscription to the Bankless citizenship. It's a whole separate premium feed that we release that has bonus episodes. So after every Monday episode, David and I do a debrief, we call it. We are going to start doing monthly Q&As as well from the Bankless Nation. So all of this bonus content, it's also ad-free as well. David, what else can you say about this fine, you know, second layer two podcast?
Yeah, some people say that after they've been listening to Bankless for forever, they actually don't listen to the Monday podcasts. They just
don't tell them that.
They just listen to the debriefs. They're like, the Monday podcast is really long. I'm just going to listen to Ryan and David talk about the podcast.
Oh, wow.
So if that's your vibe. Also, there's just a Discord where me and Ryan hang out when we are not doing podcasts. I've got my own channel where you can ask me anything. And this is where we'll be having our town halls and overall where we just hang out during the bull market. So if you want some companionship along the bull market, if you want to just ask some questions or just overall hang out, also this is where we're getting the questions for the Q&A episodes. Just come hang out in the Discord. There's a link in the show notes to get your Bankless citizenship. It is your bull market companion package that you need.
We should mention it costs money. Okay, so this is $16 a month if you commit for a year, but we know you can afford it because it's the bull market. Week two of the bull market. All right, David, what are we covering today? Let's talk about the markets first. Bitcoin, what's the price in the week?
Bitcoin and ETH actually relatively flat on the week. A lot of the action was further down in the market cap stack. So Bitcoin started the week at $36,300. It's actually falling as we are recording this. Sad. Down 1%. So 36,000 flat is where we are with Bitcoin. Down 1% on the week.
Okay, but maintaining those relatively high levels, which feels pretty good. Tell me about this, the GBTC discount and premium to NAV. What are we looking at?
Yeah, so as markets are heating up, I'm going to just be looking at the Grayscale discounts or premiums, mostly discounts, because it's just it's a kind of a sentiment indicator. It's also an indicator of outside money coming into crypto, and they're using Grayscale, an inferior product, nothing against Grayscale, but simply an inferior product to a spot ETF, which we are going to be getting soon. And we are watching the GBTC and ETH discounts approach par, where they ought to be. They were negative prior during the bear market because everyone outside who's getting access to crypto via these mechanisms are like, I don't want crypto, sell. Now people are buying. So the Grayscale GBTC discount has gone from like negative 40% back in July to where it is now, what we are looking at, and the punchline I'm trying to finally get to, which is negative 13%. So we are negative 13% on the Grayscale discount, coming up to zero. We want it to be zero. When this hits zero, all outside interesting capital that's interested in buying Bitcoin would be motivated to not buy it through this venue, but actually would just buy spot.
A spill over.
So this is kind of absorbing actually like true spot market buy pressure because people are just buying the Grayscale Bitcoin and Ether trusts first.
But we're getting close. It was negative like 50%. Now it's negative 13%. David, do you know with this Bitcoin price ride, who is sitting on $1 billion worth of profits? Whose trade finally paid off? Can you give me a guess here?
Who just happens to have, who do you think happens to have so much Bitcoin that going up to $36,000 means that they have $1 billion of paper gains? Who could that be? Who is that? It's it's MicroStrategy. It is MicroStrategy. Currently, they have $5.7 billion of Bitcoin with a cost basis of $4.6 billion. So congratulations, Michael Saylor. You didn't really time your buys in the best possible places in the market.
Doesn't matter. He was dollar cost averaging in, David.
But like
he
Ryan followed said, our advice. It was going to work out. And it finally has.
I want to say we have consistently said that yeah. this is actually yeah. a fantastic buy. But David, I don't know if you saw this clip, okay? What kind of crazy person would actually be buying Bitcoin during all of these dips? Let me give you a flavor for Michael Saylor. This is him in a recent podcast, and I just love this clip. I want you to see it.
But when you go all in on something, I would say that does take conviction. Now, your conviction might be
coming from first principles. How many chairs are you sitting on right now?
One.
Are you all in on the chair?
I am all in on the chair.
Like the point really is you put on one pair of glasses. You've got one pair of AirPods right now. You're looking at me through one screen. You're using one microphone. That's a one microphone. Like you trust it? Is that conviction? Seems kind of scary. Why don't you diversify? Why don't you use 10 microphones? The point really is things in your life. Do you drive in 10 cars at the same time or one car at one time? Do you drive down one street? Aren't you afraid that you're driving down one street? Do you take a different way? You know?
Look at his face. Nothing. Look at his face.
He's like, I don't know how to respond to this.
Oh my God. Michael Saylor never changed. Wow. That is the guy who has been purchasing this entire time. Wow. All right?
That is what you call some conviction. Tier analysis right there. I actually have two pairs of AirPods, Ryan. Yeah. Fun fact, yeah. I'm not an AirPod maximalist.
David, does he feel the way about Bitcoin that you feel about Ether?
I don't think so. I think it's directionally the same, but he feels something. I'm not feeling what Michael Saylor's feeling.
I don't think I've ever felt that way about maybe anything, the way Michael Saylor feels about Bitcoin. Those are some conviction purchases, and that's what gets you $1 billion in profits, my friend.
Yeah.
Okay, that's Bitcoin's story. Tell me about the ETH price. We're looking at the Kraken Pro charts. What is ETH doing on the week?
Well, it's going down from the last time I looked at it, so that's sad. We started the week at $2,016. I wrote down to where we ended up at 1973, but we're actually looking at your screen. It's 1960, so down 2%. So currently falling.
We started this episode and we called the bull. Now I'm feeling below 2K. This is
what markets
bullish.
In the bull market can do to you.
They go back down? That's not fair. You wanted to show us the ETH discount, though.
ETH discount, again, it used to be almost at negative 60 back in July. So negative 60%. So like if you put in $100 into the ETH discount back in July when it's at negative 60, you actually got, what's the math here? Like 1.6-ish.
An extra 60%, yeah. One
over amount on your dollars at par. We are not at par. Yeah. We are up to negative 15. So there's been a lot of buying pressure on the ETH discount, bringing it up to negative 15. So that's also approaching par.
Yeah, and part of your thesis is that has to be evaporated before ETH really goes up.
That's it doesn't have to hit zero. It's just like once you are approaching like below negative 10 to zero, then this differences between grayscale and spot is like less. So like we're already starting to like, it's mostly gone.
I want to believe, David. I want to believe. Okay, how about the ETH Bitcoin ratio?
It's flatty down.
And total crypto market caps hanging in at 1.44 trillion, still pretty up.
So slightly up on the week because a lot of price appreciation happened down the market cap stack. People are placing their chips on the lower cap coins right now.
Remember you asked me last week about like what's the market cap of crypto this cycle? Where well, I asked that question after last week's roll up at crypto Twitter, and here's what they said. The vast majority, 42% of my followers said 6 to 10 trillion.
Okay.
And then second to that was 2 to 5 trillion.
Okay.
Which, I mean, we're almost to 2 to 5 trillion right now. Those guys aren't bullish enough.
Those are bears. Bears are saying 2 to 5 trillion.
Yeah. And my answer was in the range of 10 to 15 trillion. Apparently 20% think that. And 14% think over 15 trillion. So that's the distribution, at least according to my Twitter followers. I hope we don't stop at 5 trillion, David.
That would be lame.
That is a bull market for ants.
That'd be lame.
I'm not interested in that.
mean, I got my takes about this bull market, but I guess this is now a news show, so I can save my, I can save my takes for a different show.
Yeah, no, this is only the facts, okay? No takes here.
No opinions.
no opinions. Value locked in layer two. That's at $13.64 billion. That's healthy.
That is up bigly. Up 5% on the 7 days.
More than that. We should just celebrate every time this hits all-time highs. And it's all-time highs every yet again
week?
On the week.
That's going to be hopefully. That's going to be real annoying. Not for us,
only. Just for our listeners.
Just for our listeners.
all right. Now, you wanted to show, we've got this new section for the bull market. Uh-huh. Movers of the week. I'm going to sort CoinGecko by the seven-day movers. Tell me about them.
Yeah. Celestia, Avalanche, and Thorchain. Sorry, Caspa, I still don't know where you are. Celestia, Data.
And haven't cared enough to go research
since I last looked. technically, Caspa is at number three. Celestia, Data Availability Layer, also recently had their airdrop. So congratulations on all of you non-American listeners who were able to get your airdrop. And also congratulations to people who claimed the airdrop and then didn't sell it because it's been up like 3x since you claimed it.
This segment brought to you by the SEC and Gary Gensler.
The Celestia, like, what's the market cap on Celestia right now? The fully diluted valuation is pretty big. Market cap is
fully diluted. It's 5.7 billy.
5.7 billy. Okay, so very low float, but this is typical for very young coins. Overall, just a huge. Just like vote of confidence for the multi roll up, the many, many, many roll up thesis. Like Celestia, the token TIA.
Know. Really?
Yeah.
David, like, we're on the 7 day. This is a totally narrative trade. Narrative trade. Don't you think?
Well, the narrative is roll ups. That is there's no other narrative for Celestia other than many, many, many roll ups come and use Celestia data availability. It does one thing, which is sell data availability. And who are the one people that buys data availability? It's roll ups. Okay.
No, I get it. All I'm saying is it feels like it's a vote of narrative confidence and not necessarily a vote of
fundamentals. Bro, it's narrative season, man. It's the bull market.
Okay. Those are the same things
what
now.
What kind of market do you think we're in?
I don't know. What else we got?
Followed up by Avalanche coming back from the dead, plus 71% on the week. That is a big move. Celestia is at 140% on the week, so I didn't say that.
Yeah.
Then Thorchain, like really impressive return by Thorchain, up 63% of the week.
Thorchain, and you are doing a bull episode on Thorchain because tomorrow. David, you tweeted out just it's basically an opportunity for some of these communities and some of these other assets to come basically give their bull take. Yeah. We're airing these
put
on
their
on bank
best
list.
Foot forward. Yeah, Eric Forties wanted to actually step in and join the bull case for Thorchain.
I know he's been quite bullish on Thorchain.
He's been bullish. Yeah, it makes sense if you know his history with what was his DEX Shapeshift.
Shapeshift, yeah. And I'm going to scroll down a little bit, but I don't have to scroll too far before I see Solana yet again, David. Yeah. It's been up only and another 37% on the 7 day here. Uh-huh. Here's a take that institutional demand is actually one of the drivers for Sol. And you can see that through the Sol Grayscale Trust. So we're talking about the other Grayscale trusts. And here's a tweet saying the Grayscale Sol Fund is trading at $125 a share. That's a 600% premium to NAV. Holy crap, you have a take about this, I think.
I do have a take on this. Before I get into my take, I'm going to give Jay, who we had Jay on the podcast for the bull case for Coinbase. I'm going to give him a bonk. This is the Dogecoin bonk. No.
Oh, this is Jay?
This is Jay, Coinbase analyst? Yeah, the Coinbase analyst.
You're bonking him on the head?
I'm bonking him. This is the Doge meme of bonking him. He gets a bonk. Why does he get a bonk? Okay, so not all Grayscale trusts are the same. So what are the main differences between like Bitcoin and Ether Trust and Grayscale and like all the other ones, which we're about to pull up and talk about? Ryan, pop quiz. What do you think the size is of the Grayscale Ethereum Trust versus the Grayscale Solana Trust?
Ooh,
in terms of like market cap, assets under management.
So I know that the Ether one is big. Mm-hmm. It's definitely in the billions. So I'm going to go like 2 billion would be my guess for that.
Okay.
And I know that Solana is a lot smaller and it's, 10% of the market cap of Ethereum. So we'll call that, 200 million.
Okay. Bankless listeners, everyone consider the numbers, lock them in. The correct answer is the Grayscale ETH E-Trust has 7 billion Ether of dollars under management.
That's a lot.
And the Solana Grayscale Trust has 7 million.
Oh my God, 1%?
7 million, yes. It is absolutely tiny. And so going back to Jay's tweet, when he tweets that like the implied valuation is at $328 per token. That's like having a shitcoin market, shitcoin centralized exchange that's like third rate, have almost zero volume on Solana.
An ant could move that.
Like I could move that price. Yeah, like the $600 premium to NAV. It's not real. So like,
also, what a terrible ripoff! Imagine paying 6x on your
Soul tokens. Also, don't buy it. Just buy spot. And so Jay, I'm giving you a bonk for. Bull posting without what is bull posting for people who aren't on Twitter? It's just like posting bullish stuff and you get a ton of engagement. He got a ton of engagement on this tweet, but he gets a bonk.
Well, I feel engaged.
Can we look at all the Grayscale the sizes? Okay, so Grayscale GBTC Trust. How much total holdings? $23 billion, followed by Ether at $6 billion, followed by Ethereum Classic, because Barry Silbert was weirdly an Ethereum Classic bull, at $230 million, Litecoin at $110, Bitcoin Cash at $72, Zcash at $9 million, Stellar Zcash. Lumens at $8 million, followed by Mana, the Decentraland currency, at $8 million, followed by Solana at $7.5 million. You're like, it's behind the Grace, the Decentral, what was that Metaverse project, the Mana, anyways, $7.5 million. So like, there's no signal.
There's a long tail here.
It's this a very long tail. Yeah. All right. And sorry, Link Marines, this also goes for you because Link is at $4.5 million.
Okay, so maybe Jay feels sufficiently bonked. What's your take on Kathy Wood, though? Here is Kathy Wood talking about Soul. And David, spoiler alert, she's bullish.
So yeah. Bitcoin and Ether, anything beyond that?
Well, you know, there are infrastructure players. Solana is doing a really good job. I mean, if you look at Ether was faster and cheaper than Bitcoin in the day. That's how we got Ether. Solana is even faster and cost effective than Ether. So, you know, there are infrastructure plays. We do believe Web3, digital assets. That's a big idea, actually. Digital assets with property rights. First time ever online that we're seeing property rights.
Okay, so thoughts.
This is just like Chris Berniski whispering in Kathy's ear. It's like, here's how you talk about crypto in the year 2023. Chris Berniski, he used to work at Arc. He's a big Solana bull, like loaded up his Solana bags, been investing in the Solana ecosystem. And then Kathy Wood is going on Squawk Box and she's like, oh, I'm going to talk about crypto.
David, what are you doing? This is not our takes episode. This is just the facts.
You asked me my take.
Big mistake. All right, let's move on. We did an entire episode talking about why not ETH, and that was actually in the takes episode that we released earlier this week. But my take is, David, that TLDR is, this reminds me a lot of fall 2020. And that was a time when everyone was rotating into the latest kind of like chips on the table, crap table thing, which was DeFi tokens at the time. Uh-huh. And it was DeFi and Bitcoin. This time, it's basically like, Bitcoin and all of the other like tokens that still have communities. It's not DeFi. So it reminds me a lot of fall of 2020. And if it plays out the same way, then ETH is going to have its run up soon. That is the hope. Maybe that's some of the cope.
I totally agree, but it was also not just fall. It was also summer and a little bit into spring of 2020. It lasted for a while. It was like half a year.
It did. I know. So we might be in for a long one here, at least for those ETH holders that are feeling left behind. Yeah. David, here's something boring for you, David. CPI, it hit a 2-year low. Okay. So that's what we're talking about macros. But the reason I think that's relevant is because this was the smallest increase since September 2021. And the big question on everyone's mind is the Fed going to continue to raise rates, or is it going to hold steady, or is it going to cut? When inflation is down, it is more likely to hold steady or to cut. So that seems to be the trajectory in macro markets these days.
I think that's good. We want that, right?
Yeah, we do.
I think we want that.
I mean, if inflation down and Fed pivot up, that's good for crypto.
That's like
going
to be the biggest bullish catalyst that I can think of if we do have this bull market.
Yeah.
It's going to do things like this. When the Fed pivots, we're going to get more of this stuff, this is a tweet from Will Clemente, who's on-chain wizard, I'd say. And he tweets out, for the first time in 1.5 years, the 90-day change in stablecoin supply just flipped positive. We have more stablecoins today than we did 90 days ago. What is stablecoin supply as an indicator for crypto? Liquidity. More stablecoins, more liquidity. More liquidity, number goes up. That's how you do math.
Yeah, actually, in all of the things that we've talked about so far, this is the biggest fundamental bull market. Like we were talking about the narrative market. This is actually a fundamental.
Yeah.
When stablecoin liquidity goes up, I get much more bullish. Yes. And this is a very good sign of good things to come for crypto for sure. What do we got next?
Coming up next, a new exchange gets a new layer two. Every centralized exchange making layer twos these days. I declare layer twos are now table stakes, but who is it? And after that, we're going to talk about how blockchain data was used in Congress to fact check Elizabeth Warren. I love these words. And then also how XRP tried to meme an ETF into existence. We'll figure out if that worked out for them, but we'll get to all of that and more. But first, a moment to talk about these fantastic sponsors that make this show possible, especially Kraken, our preferred exchange for 2023 and 2024 next year as well. Hey. So if you do not have an account with Kraken, consider clicking the link in the show notes to get started with Kraken today. Kraken knows crypto. Kraken's been in the crypto game for over a decade, and as one of the largest and most trusted exchanges in the industry, Kraken is on the journey with all of us to see what crypto can be. Human history is a story of progress. It's part of us, hardwired. We're designed to seek change everywhere, to improve, to strive. And if anything can be improved, why not finance? Crypto is a financial system designed with the modern world in mind. Instant, permissionless, and 24/7. It's not perfect, and nothing ever will be perfect. But crypto is a world-changing technology at a time when the world needs it the most. That's the Kraken mission, to accelerate the global adoption of cryptocurrency so that you and the rest of the world can achieve financial freedom and inclusion. Head on over to kraken.com/bankless to see what crypto can be. Not investment advice. Crypto trading involves risk of loss. Cryptocurrency services are provided to U.S. and U.S. territory customers by Payward Ventures Inc. PVI, doing business as Kraken. Celo is the mobile-first, EVM-compatible, carbon-negative blockchain built for the real world. And now, something big is happening. Introducing the Celo Layer 2. It's a game-changing proposal that's going to bring Celo's rapidly growing ecosystem home to Ethereum. Vitalik has shared his excitement for the Celo Layer 2 on the Celo forum, so has Ben Jones from Optimism. But why? The Celo Layer 2 will bring huge advantages, like a decentralized sequencer, off-chain data availability, and one-block finality. What does all that mean? Rock-solid security, a trustless bridge to Ethereum, and more real-world use cases for Ethereum without compromise. And real-world adoption is happening. Active addresses on Celo have grown over 500% in the last 6 months. With the Celo Layer 2, gas fees will stay low and you can even pay for gas using ERC20 tokens. But Celo is a community-governed protocol. This means that Celo needs you to weigh in and make your voice heard. Join the conversation in the Celo forum. Follow @Celo.org on Twitter and visit Celo.org to shape the future of Ethereum. Introducing GMX, the deepest on-chain futures market to trade Bitcoin, Ethereum, and leading altcoins. GMX is a permissionless, decentralized exchange that offers perpetual futures and spot trading, lightning-fast trade execution and competitive pricing with the security and self-custody of a decentralized exchange. GMX is live now with V2, bringing new optimizations to on-chain leverage trading. And even more than an improved trading experience, GMX will reward you for just participating. All GMX users can easily set up a referral link. And with $12 million of Arbitrum grants being distributed as incentives and over $150 billion in trading volume to date all settled on-chain, GMX is leading the charge in terms of opportunities for DeFi liquidity providers. The future is on-chain with your wallets, with your trades, and with your money in your own hands. Try it out now at app.gmx.io.
You know that rumor last week of BlackRock filing the spot Ethereum ETF, David?
Yeah, the rumor, it came out right before we started recording last week, and it was buzzer beater.
We went out a limb, and we said, you know what, this is probably going to happen, you know, Cointelegraph style. We just, it took that risk. Well, today, as of Thursday, the 16th, BlackRock actually filed the official spot Ethereum ETF with the SEC. It was not a false alarm. It is not a bankless snafu. This is now a fact. So BlackRock has the Bitcoin ETF filing, and now it has the Ethereum ETF filing. And that, my friend, is very bullish.
Has anyone informed the ETH price of this?
I'd like to file a complaint with the crypto manager.
Yeah, right. Someone tell Ether that it's getting a spot ETF.
All right. Well, you know what? Not to be outdone, the XRP community was hoping for their own spot XRP ETF, at least on the back of this. This is from WhaleWire, an account on Twitter. Justin, BlackRock has officially filed for a new iShares XRP trust entity. XRP, of course, the token behind Ripple. And here it is. This looks like a valid screenshot, David.
Looks super legit.
From the beautiful state of Delaware. It looks like a government filing. But there was only one problem. What was the problem with this particular filing?
It wasn't real.
Okay.
Whether or not this particular screenshot was just straight Photoshopped, which is super easy to do, or something, we just had to wait for Eric Balakunas and a few others to come out and say, nope, that is fake, somebody pumped the price of XRP up like 7 or 8%, and then it immediately fell back down.
Yeah, so it was actually, David, it wasn't just a screenshot, it was bogus paperwork.
So the screenshot's legit.
Yeah, the screenshot's legit. It was just like bogus paperwork. And right,
because it actually went through the Bloomberg terminal.
Yeah, it did.
Right.
It looked so official. All right, so somebody was doing this clearly like just a prank, bro. Probably to prop up XRP price.
Right.
The only problem with that is...
like a 100x like order on it, yeah.
When you do that in TradFi, right, there's actual like cops on the beat that don't like this type of thing. So the Delaware Department of Justice is now looking into this, and it looks like they're probably going to be making some arrests.
Oh, good. Good. I love that.
Yeah, that's how they handle fake news over in TradFi world, it seems like. So we got that going
right, because it's not the Wild West over there. I want to ask you a question.
Sure. Yeah, I want to ask you a question. So last week, just after we recorded, we had this little back and forth. And my take was, I only think there's going to be this market cycle anyway, a Bitcoin ETF and an Ether ETF, and everything else is like many months away, probably years away, like 3 years away or so. Mm-hmm. And we won't actually get that in this market cycle. But I think you disagreed with me. You said you think there could be the potential for other ETFs. Do you still stand by that claim, David Hoffman? And what's the next ETF?
I think you and I both know that I am not an authority about this whatsoever.
That's what I told you. but the problem is neither am I.
Sure.
So I could, it was two people who don't know what they're talking about, like debating this.
Right. Yeah. Blind leading the blind. Okay. But if Bitcoin and Ether can get spot ETFs, so can Bitcoin Cash and Litecoin. And we've noticed just like TradFi really just not being able to differentiate between just like Bitcoin Cash and Litecoin and like the rest of the crypto assets that people care about. Like it would be meaningful if we saw like a Link ETF. I think Link would be a viable candidate. Honestly, maybe even XRP too, because they won their case against the SEC. What question do you want to ask? Are we going to get Bitcoin Cash Litecoin ETFs, or are we going to get like Link and Solana ETFs?
How about we do this? So how about we do this, right? So I was speculating, and I think there's only two. You were speculating as well. You know what I did after? Because
you asked an expert?
Yeah, I actually went and asked an expert. I'm going to reveal some DMs here because they're not private. James Seifert, I asked him, is there any likelihood that we'll get another non-ETH Bitcoin ETF in the next 1 to 3 years? He said, no, sir. Absent new head of the SEC or literal act of Congress, I'd be surprised if we get assets other than Bitcoin and ETH in an ETF. And then he said some more things there. So James Seifert says this is still a ways away. And maybe we should count our blessings. Maybe we're just lucky to have two ETFs.
Just two.
And we only have like more certainty over the one. So Ethereum could still be a hump to get over for Gensler's approval on this one. I'm sure he'll be choking that one down.
This is why this bull market is going to be, if like everyone's like, oh, it's a bull market, including us, including at least me. But man, if we have a bull market because we have this spot Bitcoin Ether ETFs and Bitcoin and Ether, therefore I have exposure to like all the capital flows from TradFi.
Yeah.
And right now everyone else is like speculating on like Avalanche and Thorchain and Solana. Like there's a disconnect here. Like these are different versions of reality.
Yeah, it's definitely beyond the scope of this episode. You know, we'll have to give some takes on this, I think. The Wall Street Journal doubling down on crypto plus terrorism, but Congress is fact-checking. This was a story that broke. Remember Wall Street Journal? We've been talking about so many roll-ups. Mm-hmm. Well, they just doubled down again, David.
Yeah.
This is a brand new story coming out this week. Hamas needed a new way to get money from Iran. It turned to crypto. They're finding something else to point to crypto at. The pivot to digital currencies helped Hamas receive large sums from Iran in the 2 years preceding the attacks on Israel. More baseless claims, it appears, from the Wall Street Journal. But here's the good news. Here's the silver lining this week. I want you to watch this clip. It was a member of Congress talking about this particular thing. And notice what he says. Here's a tweet.
In the aftermath of these attacks, there was an article in the Wall Street Journal that reported that Hamas received a significant portion of its funding from digital assets. A subsequent letter sent by members of Congress stated that Hamas and Palestinian Islamic Jihad has raised over $130 million in crypto, to which the blockchain analytics firm cited by the Wall Street Journal issued a correction, and I quote, "There's no evidence to suggest that crypto fundraising has raised anything close to this amount, and the data provided by Elliptic and others have been misinterpreted." At the end of the day, bad actors will continue to use any means possible to conduct...
David, I'm going to continue this in a minute, but did you notice Congress is now quoting blockchain analytics data?
That's cool.
All right?
That's a cool thing.
Yeah, this is Congress learning how this entire system actually works. And our industry is the one that revealed this. I mean, Nick Carter and all the citizen journalists responsible for sleuthing out the actual truth here. And this is making it all the way to the floors of Congress. This is Representative French Hill continuing.
Any means possible to conduct their illicit activity. But phones and the internet aren't to be blamed by terror financing, and crypto shouldn't either. We must examine these issues head on and separate fact from fiction. And that's why we're here.
Hey, that's nice, right? So that's what's going on in Congress. It's good to push back on this. And Tom Emmer created a bipartisan letter with Richie Torres as well, Representative Richie Torres. So this is Republicans and Democrats together calling for an inquiry on all of these shenanigans and false allegations. So, David,
I love that. Yeah. I love a junior Democrat questioning a senior Democrat, Liz Warren. Richie Torres saying, "Hey, Liz, that's some BS, and I'm doing a letter of inquiry." I'm looking forward to this, particular
for Richie Torres, because I think a lot of the established Democrats are kind of against this. And as you said, it takes a lot to push back against Elizabeth Warren in the party right now. So, you're clapping for all these members of Congress that are pushing back on this.
Mm-hmm. Big time, big time. OKX is launching their ZK Layer 2 with the Polygon ZK EVM. OKX is the sixth largest centralized exchange in crypto with 50 million users, now all getting a Layer 2 to call home. Did you know also, Ryan, that they also already have a token? OKX already has a token, in the same way in that Binance has a token. It is a $13 billion fully diluted market cap, $350 million market cap. So no small token, now getting a Layer 2.
Yeah, OKX, is that token is actually bigger than I thought. I mean, $13 billion is quite a lot. That's going to be used as the payment token on this layer too. Yes, so it's kind of token. It's got a utility use there too. And one interpretation of this, remember last week, David, there was rumors of Kraken looking to spin up their own layer two. This has not been confirmed by Kraken, but of course Coinbase already has one. Right. David, are all of the exchanges going to have a layer two? Is this how this is going to go down?
Yeah, it's looking like it. It's looking like table stakes for any centralized exchange to also have its own domiciled blockchain, which I think is great because that is just more surface area for more things to become coming on chain. But I will say, can we get an exchange to use a ZK Validium, basically a rollup, to not just like have externally to their ecosystem where they have their own chain, but actually be the chain? As in, can you take the back end of the ledger? Because what are crypto banks? They're ledgers. Can you take the ledger, the state of the bank, and you put that on chain? That's the new cool thing
that would be very, very cool. Yeah, we're just raising the bar even more. Yes. They can never satisfy us, right? Yeah. We're not happy with a roll-up.
You can always be more bankless.
You can always be more bankless and more decentralized. That might be the trajectory. We'll have to see. David, what do we have coming up next?
Coinbase is offering perks on the Base chain if you disclose your identity. If you verify your Ethereum wallet to them, you get some free perks. Maybe you're interested in that. If you give up your identity, maybe it's worth it for you. But on the flip side, there's a new privacy app to help you hide from Coinbase on the other side of things as well. And then also, I've got some corrections that I have to say about Near from our last week's weekly roll-up. So there's some Near things as well. We're going to get to all of these.
Yeah, we messed up.
Yeah, it was me. I'll take the blame for that one. we're going to get to all of this and more. But first, a moment to talk about some of these fantastic sponsors that make this show possible.
MetaMask Portfolio is your one-stop shop to navigate the world of DeFi. And now, bridging seamlessly across networks doesn't have to be so daunting anymore. With competitive rates and convenient routes, MetaMask Portfolio's bridge feature lets you easily move your tokens from chain to chain using popular Layer 1 and Layer 2 networks. And all you have to do is select the network you want to bridge from and where you want your tokens to go. From there, MetaMask vets and curates the different bridging platforms to find the most decentralized, accessible, and reliable bridges for you. To tap into the hottest opportunities in crypto, you need to be able to plug into a variety of networks, and nobody makes that easier than MetaMask Portfolio. Instead of searching endlessly through the world of bridge options, click the bridge button on your MetaMask extension or head over to metamask.io/portfolio to get started. Arbitrum is the leading Ethereum scaling solution that is home to hundreds of decentralized applications. Arbitrum's technology allows you to interact with Ethereum at scale with low fees and faster transactions. Arbitrum has the leading DeFi ecosystem, strong infrastructure options, flourishing NFTs, and is quickly becoming the Web3 gaming hub. Explore the ecosystem at portal.arbitrum.io. Are you looking to permissionlessly launch your own Arbitrum Orbit chain? Arbitrum Orbit allows anyone to utilize Arbitrum's secure scaling technology to build your own Orbit chain, giving you access to interoperable, customizable permissions with dedicated throughput. Whether you're a developer, an enterprise, or a user, Arbitrum Orbit lets you take your project to new heights. All of these technologies leverage the security and decentralization of Ethereum. Experience Web3 development the way it was always meant to be: secure, fast, cheap, and friction-free. Visit arbitrum.io and get your journey started in one of the largest Ethereum communities. You know Uniswap. It's the world's largest decentralized exchange with over $1.4 trillion in trading volume. You know this because we talk about it endlessly on Bakeless. It's Uniswap, but Uniswap is becoming so much more. Uniswap Labs just released the Uniswap mobile wallet for iOS, the newest, easiest way to trade tokens on the go. With the Uniswap wallet, you can easily create or import a new wallet, buy crypto on any available exchange with your debit card with extremely low fiat on-ramp fees, and you can seamlessly swap on Mainnet, Polygon, Arbitrum, and Optimism. On the Uniswap mobile wallet, you can store and display your beautiful NFTs, and you can also explore Web3 with the in-app search features, market leaderboards, and price charts, or use Wallet Connect to connect to any Web3 application. So you can now go directly to DeFi with the Uniswap mobile wallet. Safe, simple custody from the most trusted team in DeFi. Download the Uniswap wallet today on iOS. There is a link in the show notes.
Coinbase is offering free transactions in exchange for on-chain verification. So I give up a little bit of information about myself and then I get free on-chain transactions on Base. Is this what I'm reading?
That's what they're saying. Yeah. Free Base chain transactions if you verify your Ethereum wallet to Coinbase. So if you already have a Coinbase account, you already have KYC done with Coinbase, you can just link your Base chain wallet and say like, okay, that's my wallet. And then your wallet will have free transactions on Base. There are some other perks as well. You can get access to the Base Discord. I don't know what goes on in there, but I'm assuming they talk about Base. And you get some others. There's some other perks as well, right? So like, a lot of whatever it takes to have like anti-sybilness as a property inside of apps. So like there's airdrop,
David,
like social gaming stuff. What?
I'm scrolling down. This is all built on the Ethereum attestation service, the open standard.
Yeah, totally.
We did an entire episode about this. This is incredibly bullish.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah. So using EAS to provide Coinbase's version of identity for Base chain.
You know, this could be an entire thing that we do, like exploring what a sci-fi a crypto exchange looks like. But if you think about what an exchange actually is, well, it's identity. It's one part identity. It's one part user experience. It's one part wallet. And what does that look like in the future? It looks like this is the next step. Once all of the exchanges have their own layer twos, right? Well, what are they going to do? They're going to provide some sort of identity service on top of that layer two.
Yeah, because really they already have the identity service and now they're just extending it into the layer two. I think we should proceed with caution with this because I don't think it's too far hard to just imagine that like there's an app that only is useful, only opens to you if you have done your verification with Coinbase.
Oh, I could totally see that coming as well. So we're going to have identity KYC crypto, and then we're going to have non-KYC crypto. And one project that's helping us with the non-KYC identity-less crypto is a project called Nocturne. And we talked about them, I believe, a couple weeks ago. They are a Bankless Ventures investment. The cool, exciting thing this week is they just rolled out live on Mainnet. This is a privacy vault UI that's accessible. If you go to app.nocturne.xyz, that's where this is located. What is this, David?
Simply put, it is a wallet that is a sidecar to all of your other wallets. So every wallet that you have can have its own Nocturne wallet. It's basically like a shadow version of your public wallet. So kind of in the same way that I have davidhoffman.eth, I can go take my wallet, and that David Hoffman.eth is registered to one of my wallets. I can go get a Nocturne wallet, and then I have a private account. And through some cool cryptographic mechanisms called stealth addresses and some account extraction primitives, you get to have your private account, and then it lets you engage in DeFi. And anytime you make a transaction, Nocturne uses a stealth address, and then you do your transaction, and then it throws away that stealth address, and then you get another one. And so there's always this hidden wallet behind this mask of stealth addresses. And so it's different than all the other privacy attempts at privacy that have come prior, because it brings privacy to your wallet rather than it doesn't actually it's not asking the consumer to do anything different in the fullness of time. Like, ideally, this is just becomes like embedded in your wallet.
And I think this kind of project really throws a question to the rest of the world, right? Is kind of the nation states. Do you want your citizens to have access to basically the HTTPS of crypto and value transfer? Mm-hmm. Or is that not allowed? And like right now in the Nocturne interface, if you go to it, under the terms of service, I don't think they could get around this, David. There's a list of prohibited countries. So the user shall not access the software or use it if the user is a citizen of the United States of America.
Oh, or great.
Yeah, that's you and I.
I'm not surprised in the slightest.
Many bankless listeners, of course, the European Union, the UK, these are also listed as countries. Afghanistan, Central African Republic, Crimea, Cuba, Russia, on down. So a whole list of countries that, according to the terms of service, are prohibiting from actually using this if you're a citizen of those countries. So it just shows we have a tremendous amount of work to do on the nation state side, clarifying our privacy rights with respect to crypto. And those have not been enshrined or clarified in any degree. And they absolutely need to be if we are to preserve our digital property rights in the 21st century. There is no other way to do it.
The juxtaposition between what Base is doing right now with Coinbase, like on-chain verification, and the constraints around who Nocturne can provide their services to is like sobering, to say the least.
It is.
And Coinbase and Brent Armstrong have moved mountains for this industry in Capitol Hill, just in our political sphere. And so I applaud them for that. And also, I will call on them again, if they're going to incent doxing of wallets on Base Chain, I hope that they also help us make sure that we can have access to our privacy too.
Did you see an update from Paul Grewal this week? So he, there's Coinbase versus Coinbase representing plaintiffs from Tornado Cash, at least users of Tornado Cash. Preston Van Loon is one of them. Mm-hmm. The problem is, David, that this is their second court case. They actually lost the first court case, and this is an appeal case. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to fight this in the court system.
They are doing that.
I think we need something stronger. I think we need some politicians with some backbone that are going to pass some laws and reel in the executive branch from enforcing this kind of thing. The question is, do we want to preserve a function like cash, which is peer-to-peer and fully private? Do we want to preserve that in the digital realm or not?
Right.
And some societies may choose not to, and that's a shame. David, we got a record to correct this week. we messed something up with respect to the NEAR protocol, and they called us on it. What did we mess up last week?
So last week we said NEAR is now becoming a layer two on Ethereum. That is not true. What is NEAR doing? We did say this part, but it got muddled. NEAR is an independent layer one. It always will be. It is now also one of the new things. Actually, there's a handful of new things. It is also a data availability layer. So the NEAR mainnet, the NEAR layer one with all of its apps and assets and all that stuff, will continue to settle on NEAR, and it will also become a data availability layer, just like Celestia, just like EigenDA, for Ethereum rollups or rollups from any other chain. But honestly, what other chain is producing rollups these days? And so that is the thing that they are working with Polygon, the Polygon chain development kit. So you can build a layer two Validium using NEAR data availability. So like NEAR data availability is a module inside of the Polygon chain development kit. And they are also working on bringing this module to the OP stack. That's the updated announcement. But there's actually also some other NEAR things as well. NEAR is also introducing a fast finality layer built with EigenLayer. What is a fast finality layer? I'm so glad you asked. This just processes transactions for Ethereum rollups and between Ethereum rollups in like 3 to 4 seconds. compared to like whatever exit times, exit queues, you have to go down one roll up over to the other and back up to the other one. So it's just secure, low latency cross roll up communication. One of many steps of what it will take to recompose many Ethereum layer twos into one seamless Uber chain on top of, did you read my article not too long ago about the five big questions for Ethereum?
Yeah, I read all your articles, David. I don't miss any.
Thank you. There's like different versions of the future. It's like one superchain dominates all the other superchains. So this would be like the version of the future in which Optimism superchain just like wins. Then there is the one single layer two, which is like the Eclipse model, which is just like not even a superchain, just one chain, and it's gargantuan. Basically the Solana on top of Ethereum thesis. That's the Eclipse thesis. And then there's the Uber chain thesis, which is like a pluralist version of many, many superchains. And so when Near is working with Eigenlayer to introduce fast finality between chains and therefore also superchains, this is a plus one to the multi-superchain thesis, which is as pluralist as it gets, which gets me going.
The Uberchain thesis, huh? The Uberchain thesis. I kind of like that. I think I'm probably team Uberchain thesis. I will say, Uberchain. Even though we got...
It's also the hardest one of the three, by the way.
Yes. Even though we got the details wrong, I feel like we got the spirit right, which is Near is cozying up a lot more to the Ethereum community with some of these solutions and certainly to rollups.
I don't know if we can give us that much credit.
No, I'm going to take it. I'm taking that as a W, David.
The thing that I said that was factually incorrect is that Ethereum assets cannot go to Near. They are separate settlement layers.
Yeah. While we're talking about layer twos, David, you threw this my way. It's something called Lattice. Today, we're announcing Redstone, a super cost-effective layer two for on-chain games, worlds, and other ambitious applications built on the OP stack. You said you were really excited about this. Why are you so excited?
This represents a frontier of crypto that is probably one of the most ambitious frontiers of crypto that I think is possible. I think when we all get into crypto and we all have our like minds blown about the future that this could bring, like, oh, this, everything is going to be super sci-fi and we're going to be able to do everything, blah, 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 blah. Like, remember when you were like way too overly optimistic about what crypto could do? This is that. Lattice Redstone, it's a roll-up construction that is designed, purpose-built to build on-chain worlds, fully on-chain games, universes, things with so much internal state that they need to create the theoretical maximum amount of scale using a roll-up construction, which is why we are returning to the world of Plasma. I don't know if you noticed, Ryan, but Plasma has been back in the conversation.
Vitalik wrote a post. I saw this.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, so Redstone is the first Plasma implementation for the OP stack. So it's a module for the OP stack. I mean, the OP stack is becoming more useful. And it's just meant to optimize to be super cost-effective for on-chain games and worlds and highly ambitious applications. Remember OP Craft?
No,
it was an OP stack chain that ran Minecraft its virtual machine.
Yeah.
So this is the same
scaling
people.
That kind of
this
thing
is
up.
This is the spiritual descendant of OP Craft. So you know, more research and development, more growth with a team. So now we have Redstone, which is this like it's like a kind of engine.
Cool.
It's an engine for on-chain games.
I think I would like to do an episode on this.
On-chain worlds for a very long time. It's like this weird axis of crypto between the 0x Park guys, the OP stack people, the Lattice people. It's this weird axis, and I don't know how to tap into them because they're all kind of like Vitalik, and they kind of don't give a fuck, and they just want to build.
Well, those are the best episodes then. If anyone's hearing, plugged into this ecosystem.
I mean, I'm connected with them. I'll just go DM them.
Okay. That's the truth. You just haven't asked.
Yeah, I just haven't asked yet.
David, there was a big hack this week. $125 million from Poloniex, which is His Majesty Justin's son, his exchange.
Don't say any bad words, Ryan.
Yeah, I mean, I hope this doesn't cause another cease and desist, but this is purely factual. We're just talking about the news.
Further cease and desist.
$125 million. I mean, we're laughing right now, but I guess this is a lot of money for people who still had their funds on Poloniex. I don't know why you would, three assets affected, $56 million worth of ETH, some Tron, and some Bitcoin. So there you go. Do you know anything more about this?
Yeah, Justin Sun says the Poloniex team has successfully identified and frozen a portion of the assets associated with the hackers' addresses. At present, the losses are within manageable limits. I hope that means that he will just pay.
He should.
He should. And he should, you know, donate some other stuff to public goods.
Yeah, I think
Did you notice Justin Sun has like 10 times as much ETH than Vitalik? I think it's like more than 10 times. I did know
that. That's it's a sad
stupid
fact.
Number. It's a very sad fact.
It's a sad fact of the day. Mm-hmm. David, last thing. We got a raise going on. Bitcoin-focused Ordinals Project Taproot. The Wizards. These things. Can you believe people are paying for these NFTs here? That's actually not the stupidest NFTs I've seen. Magic Internet JPEGs. And this Ordinals Project just raised $7.5 million seed round. That's a pretty hefty
Pretty hefty seed round. Yeah. Ooty. Well, I mean, Bitcoiners don't have too much like seed investment opportunities. So when it all went along, into this, and it's Udi Wertheimer and Eric Wall. So you know, previous podcast guests, immense respect for Eric. Udi is a great troll. We love him too.
Yeah.
Not like Udi. I'm glad Udi has something to do.
Wow. David wanted to include this in the agenda just to say that. Meme of the week. David, what on earth are we looking at? This looks like it's from a Simpsons episode. Let's go banana is the caption. Is there a clip to play that accompanies this, that explains this?
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so this is Cyrus Unesi, one of many Ethereum people that are frustrated by the lack of performance in ETH. And so there's this bit out of The Simpsons, and they're all on a bus, and the bus is rolling, and all the kids on The Simpsons are like racing their fruits. The video is very, very important. So let's go ahead and watch that.
Go apple.
Go orange.
Go banana.
You can guess.
The banana, of course.
Between an apple and an orange and a banana, which one rolls the best and which one makes the race? They're racing fruit down the bus
because the bus is moving. I'm getting the imagery.
Go banana.
Oh, but you forgot the punchline. So the apple and the orange is Bitcoin and Sol, and the banana is Ether.
Yes. All the people watching the YouTube chuckled probably. The podcast is confused because we have to explain memes to them.
You know what?
I wonder how many times we can get people to, or how often we actually do get people to laugh at explaining memes.
We probably never. Probably this is just like this entire episode and format is just for you and I. That's why we do these.
That's fine.
But David, we do have something for the podcast listeners, and that is A Moment of Zen, which is a fantastic song from our friend Coco the Corn Cob. Mm-hmm. And I think there's some sage advice here on how to not get wrecked during the upcoming bull market. So stay tuned for that. We will end with risks in just a minute, but first some disclosures. Bankless Ventures, as I mentioned, we are an investor in Nocturne. We are long-term investors. We're not journalists. We don't do paid content. There's always a link to all of our disclosures, bankless.com/disclosures. Crypto is risky. You never knew if you got an apple or if you got a banana on your hands. You could lose what you put in, but we are headed west. This is the frontier. It's not for everyone, but we're glad you're with us on the Bankless journey. Thanks a lot.
Crypto has a million ways for you to get wrecked. I hope that you are careful and you give it respect. And no, I never wish that anyone be attacked. I'm always so amused at the ridiculous hacks. Never take for granted that someone is who they seem. Just do a search for Roz Khan and see what I mean. If you stole $1 billion, then you might be discreet. Or you might be the crocodile of Wall Street. Then you get the demagogues who really love to stump and convince you that their token's not a speculative pump. With fancy algorithms and 10,000 APRs. Forget the fucking moon, this time we're reaching for the stars. Cause crypto has a million ways for you to get wrecked. I hope that you are careful and you give it respect. Cause any kind of asset, a nine way you can divine. Exploiter ingenuity will beat you every time. Abraham Eisenberg deserves a special verse. In a contest for creativeness, he'll always come first. He pumped the price of mango, which had low liquidity, and then borrowed against it and wrecked the LPs. But that's not all he did, because he's a clever SOB. He went on down to Aave and he borrowed CRV. He shorted the hell out of it and caused the price to fall. A sneak attack on Aave, and this is possible because code is a law. Yes, code is a law. This concept is the crux of it all. Will it prevent corruption? Or is it a fatal flaw? Will it allow the robots to obliterate us all? Yes, code is a law. Yes, code is a law. Cause people are the reason that societies fall. Did Avi make us tougher by uncovering some flaws? Or should he end up pounding rocks behind a prison wall? Hack in 22 was not a lot of fun. He watched the tokens and he sent a piece of Kim Jong-un. We figured it was Lazarus behind the attack, but then the hacker grew a conscience and sent it all back. The Cashio exploiter was different to be sure. He gave your money back if you convinced him you were poor. Social engineering, now a multi-six cracked, or maybe just a bug in a smart contract. But when the code is written, if it's immutable, it means there's no such thing as spirit of the law. If someone steals your shit, maybe a it's morally wrong, but we all knew the risk. We've been warned all along that toting the law, yes, toting the law, this concept is the crux of it all. Will it permit corruption, or is it a fatal flaw? Will it allow the robots to obliterate us all? Yes, code is a law, yes, code is a law, because people are the reason that societies fall. Want to make the kids be evil and exist anywhere at all? This is what we get when code is a law. Someone sends you a message and he says you're really smart. And will you join a panel and he'll pay you for your part? 10,000 Twitter handles follow this guy, but no one that you recognize. I wonder why. So you read the white paper, but you really don't get how it can go for 20 pages, but without explaining shit. The Discord's full of people just saying, GM, somebody Zach XBT this guy and blow up his scam. There are too many stories to recount them to you all. Crypto's like walking by some grizzly bears with honey on your balls. It's why all the returns are astronomically huge. We're working out the kinks so that it's safe for normies to use. It's why crypto has a million ways for you to get wrecked. I hope that you are careful and you give it respect, cause if you spend a week here without getting wrecked, you deserve a gold star placed around you.